There is someone who doesn't want you to succeed. There's someone who doesn't want you to change. There's someone revels in you feeling bad about yourself, wants you constantly reliving past hurts and disappointments, wants you forever worrying about future calamities, wants you incessantly dwelling on all the things that are wrong with you and wrong with the world, insists that if you were just smarter or more capable that you'd be able to figure things out and get them right, finally. Oh, they say they want what's best for you, but what they really want is best for them. They want you miserable and afraid. You know who I'm talking about. It's that voice that you've heard in your head and lived with all of your life. That critical voice, that negative voice. Maybe it's a whole committee of voices. Stop wasting so much time. Get busy. Oh, don't get so excited. You know this is never going to work out. Idiot, what'd you do that for? You know these voices, the shoulds, the oughts. You know that Shel Silverstein poem? Listen to the mustn'ts, child. Listen to the don'ts. Listen to the shouldn'ts, the impossibles, the won'ts. You know these voices, the ones that promise that everything will be just perfect if only. If only he'd come back. If only they'd be nicer. If only you could drop 10 pounds. If only you could get yourself organized. The ones that warn you to never show any vulnerability. The ones who scoff at your dreams. The ones who insinuate you don't have enough. You'll never be enough. The one that tells you to get over it because everyone suffers and you've got it easier than most. And besides, suffering is noble and you'll be rewarded someday. Trust me. The ones that say, you're not playing by the rules. You can't heal on the Sabbath. You can't eat with tax collectors and sinners. You must be out of your mind. Maybe there's a devil inside of you. Jesus hears the same chorus of voices today that you and I know all too well. The ones that want us constantly distracted and confused and obsessed with anything and everything outside of ourselves. The ones that want us stuck in our heads, dwelling on the past, obsessing about the future. Paralysis by analysis, one of my sage friends calls it. Those voices don't want any of us living in the here and now because they know that the here and now, the present, is where we meet God. Jesus has just started his ministry around the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he's been declaring the unclean clean. He's been forgiving people of their sins. He's been eating with the wrong people, violating the establishment's sense of order and decorum. And he's even recently deputized 12 of his closest followers to go out and do the same thing. And like anyone who's trying to change things, trying to move people and institutions towards greater compassion and greater health, he gets pushback. He gets detractors, people who say, he doesn't know what he's doing. He must be out of his mind. And his family gets worried and tries to stop him, and then the religious authorities trek all the way out to this distant outpost to smear him with accusations of doing the devil's work. Who do you think you are? You can't do that. You shouldn't. You mustn't. Those voices that we all know, that we all hear, they echo loudly in this house in Nazareth, and Jesus names them for exactly what they are. Demonic. The voices that belittle, that hurt, that bully, that unjustly criticize, that insist on maintaining order and efficiency and profitability no matter the human cost. The voices that oppose life and health and wholeness and reconciliation. The voices that oppose the work and the will of God. Those voices are demonic. They're the voices of the strong man. And you know what's even more insidious? We keep inviting them in. We keep inviting them in to take charge of our small, fear-filled lives. No, but we are determined to have a king over us, so that we also may be like others, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles for us. The trouble is, the strong man never does fight battles for us. They always fight battles with us. The Israelites were told what a king, what a strong man would do to them, and out of fear, they welcomed Saul. Out of fear, we tolerate and are often ruled by the voices that we know, the voices of the strong man. And sure, some are more noticeable than others because they're more familiar, the ones that whisper in our ears and play tapes in our head every day over and over again. You can't do that. You must do this. You don't deserve that. You need this. If only they would change, you'd be fine. The voices of our personal strong man. But some are more difficult to discern because they're diffused into so many others. The strong man of racism, for example, still holds sway over many. There's a strong man of patriarchy and privilege. There's a strong man of materialism who roars that consuming and possessing more and more is the only thing that will make us happy. There's a strong man of empire that insists that only might makes right. These voices feed one another, from the most intimate and personal to the most global and political, forming a web that we are all caught in, enmeshed in. In biblical language, these voices are referred to as the principalities and the powers. And no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. So how do we rid ourselves of them? How do we bind them? How do we follow Jesus and tie up our own strong man? Well, believe it or not, it is ridiculously simple to bind the strong man. Simple, but not easy. All you have to do is center yourself in the here and now, in the full reality of the present, where we live and move and have our being in God. That eternal house not made with hands that Paul talks about is here and now, the Trinitarian reality of the present. And to center yourself, the first and best thing to do is to simply breathe. Connect with your breath and you center yourself in the here and now. And as you breathe, you allow yourself to become aware of what you're really seeing and hearing and smelling and feeling. And when the voice kicks in and starts to get you to think about what has happened or what will happen or to pull you out of the present, simply notice that it's there and return to the present. Acknowledge the strong man, the gremlin, the demon, your inner critic, whatever you call it. Acknowledge that it's there, but don't engage it. And as you practice becoming aware of your own strong man but not engaging, you'll begin to recognize that that voice you've heard all your life, it's not you. The person God created you to be is not that voice. And as you recognize that you are not that voice, they gradually lose their power. Oh, they'll get louder and more devious at first. But if you patiently continue to ground yourself in the present and simply notice them, they will gradually become less powerful. Practice becoming aware of your own strong man makes you better at recognizing the other bigger ones. Becoming aware of privilege helps bind the strong man of racism. Becoming aware of wealth and our consumption and committing to living more lightly and more simply helps diminish the strong man of empire and materialism. Acknowledging how binary gender expressions keeps people locked in unhelpful dichotomies weakens the strong man of patriarchy. Start with your own strong man. Breathe. Simply notice the voices that try in all kinds of devious ways to distract you, to keep you fixated on the past, worried about the future, not able to fully experience the here and now. The ones that distract you from seeing God, that shout to prevent you from hearing God, that stand in your way to keep you from following God. Do you know how that Shel Silverstein poem ends? We've been reading a lot of Shel Silverstein in my house lately, so I know this one. Listen to the mustn'ts, child. Listen to the don'ts. Listen to the shouldn'ts, the impossibles, the won'ts. Listen to the never haves. Then listen close to me. Anything can happen, child. Anything can be. God's voice, God's will, is always about possibilities, is always about love and life and health and wholeness and reconciliation and living into God's dream of shalom. And you know that voice too. It's the still, small voice that whispers, "You are a child of God, my beloved." It's the voice that asks, "Who are my brothers and sisters?" And then proclaims, "Here are my brothers and sisters. You are my brothers and sisters." Amen.